Now, we are at an interesting point in the Torah world, the world as a whole, we're approaching this week Yud Tes Kislev, which is called the Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus.
Oh.
And
you call that Chag HaGeula?
It's one of the terms that might apply to it. The point being that when the Hasidic movement began in the 18th century, there was opposition to it. There was opposition. And this resulted in eventually Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the founder of Chabad, who at that point was the center of the Hasidic movement, being arrested, and then he was released. Now he understood, and that was on Yud Tes Kislev, and that became called the Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus. Now he understood this as being an expression of a genuine spiritual question. The whole idea of Chassidus was the teaching, the spreading of Pnimius HaTorah, the inner dimension of Torah. And in terms of that, he felt maybe they've got a point. When he was arrested, he felt, you know, maybe in Shemayim they agree. It's not right to teach Pnimius HaTorah on a wider way, perhaps. But then when he was released, he felt that gives the go-ahead. Now, this leads me to now another thing, worldwide study of the Rambam, people learning Rambam, 3 Prokem a day, that also recently began. Zion Kislev began a new machzor. So what I felt would be suitable for this morning is to link together a rather controversial aspect of the Rambam together with Tanya and the teachings of Chassidus. You see, the Rambam wrote, first of all, he wrote his Pirush on the Mishnayos. No one had much of an argument with that. It's a very wonderful Pirush on the Mishnayos, printed in every full set of Shas. The Hakdoma, which is sometimes described as the Hakdoma to Seder Zroim, is really a Hakdoma to the whole Pirush on the Mishnayos, and it's a very valuable sefer. Very, very interesting sefer in many ways. And then he wrote other Hakdomas, which are quite famous. And one of them is Shmoyna Prokim, for example, which is very popular as a Musa sefer. And he also wrote a Hakdoma to Perik Chelek, which includes in it the Yud Gimel Ikorim, the Yud Gimel Ikori Amuna, which he wrote like a couple of paragraphs on each one.
We had a few shurim here on that.
Right. And there you have the full text. What was written in, I think, the 15th or 16th century is what we have in many sidurim, animami. The Rambam didn't write it in that way. He wrote like a long paragraph on each of them. So that's in the Pirush on the Mishnayos. And then we have Mishnah Torah, and in Mishnah Torah, the first section is Sefer HaMada. And Sefer HaMada itself is a very profound Sefer, which is the introduction to the whole of the whole of the Rambam, the whole of the Mishnah Torah, in a very wonderful way. In Sefer HaMada itself, we have the Book of Knowledge, we have Hilchus Yesodei HaTorah. Now the Hilchus Yesodei HaTorah are the halachas of the basis of the Torah. And it's these halachas that I want to try to take, these Hilchus Yesodei HaTorah, I want to try and look at that, and to look at that particularly in terms of its relationship with the teachings in Tanya, which is the Sefer of Rabbi Shneur Zalman. Okay, so it's So this is just my Borech Svaris. It's you know, it's not based on anything that anyone has written. It's not a Sicha, it's not a Maimah. It's just simply a putting together these two concepts of Hilchus Yesod HaTorah, the laws of the foundation of the Torah. Now, what do we have here in Hilchus Yesod HaTorah? The first Perek is Yesod HaYesodes V'Amud HaChochmos, begins off the foundation of all foundations and the pillar of wisdoms, which you can see is Yud Kei Vav Kei, is to know that there is Hashem, Motzui Rishon, the first and ultimate eternal existence, the only existence, V'hu Mamtzi Kol Nimtza.
Who would dispute that?
Well, people who didn't believe in Hashem. It's, first of all, even if it's not under dispute, you still have to make it clear, because Avodas Hashem is an expression of our focusing on Hashem and our being aware of Hashem as the essence of existence, awareness.
Not just lying in our subconscious and forgetting about it.
Yes.
To internalize, to incorporate in our attitude to life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, let me just finish the halacha. It's not long. V'hu mamtzi kol nimtza. He gives existence to everything that exists. V'chol hanimtzayim mishamayim ba'oretz. And all that exists in heaven and earth, the marsha b'neim, whatever's between them, loy nimtzu elam ha'mitas himotza. They only exist because of the truth of his existence. And then he goes on to say, v'im yala al hadas, if it would occur to you, chas v'shalom, Shuhu ain't a motzui, that he's not there. Ein dova ache yocholi motzois. Nothing else could be there. People talk about belief in Hashem. So you say, can you see a chair here? Yeah, I see a chair. If that chair is there, then Hashem has to be there as well, because that chair wouldn't be there without Hashem making it exist. Not making it exist 5, 7, 6 years ago. Making it exist this minute. This minute, ve'im yale al hadas ein kol hanimtzayim milvado mitzuyim, and if you would imagine that nothing else exists apart from him, then hu levado yeh motzui. Then Hashem alone will be there. Hashem doesn't depend on the world. Hashem is beyond the world.
The world depends on him.
That's right. Ve'lo yevatel hu lebitulam. Just because they don't exist doesn't affect him. Shekol hanimtzayim tzrichim loy, because everything that exists needs him. V'hu baruch hu eino tzarich lehem, and he doesn't need them. V'lo yechad mehem, not one of them. Lefichoch eina mitosai, therefore his emes, when we say Hashem elikim emes, eino ka'amitos echad mehem, is on a completely different level to the truth of everything else. Who shahanavi oimer? That's what the navi says. VaHashem elokim emes, but who levado emes? He alone is the truth. VaEin laache emes kamitosa, and there's no other which has truth like him. VaHu shatoyda oimeres, and that's what the Torah says. Ein oid milvado. There's nothing apart from Hashem. Kolaima ein shom motzi emes milvado kamoise. In other words, there is no other thing which has got such a reality as Hashem. Hashem is the mechuy of hamatzius. Hashem is the existence that must be and is eternally, and everything else.
It is the only reality.
Yes. The only reality, the ultimate reality. Novos. Hashem created the world, Bereshis Bara Elokim, Es HaShemayim, Es HaAretz, and we're in the world, and in the world is the place where we're able to keep Torah Mitzvahs, so, which is Hashem's Kavana. But there is that this reality of Hashem. Now, he then goes on to say, V'yadiyas Dovazer, he speaks about the way the infinite power of Hashem is continuously keeping everything in existence. V'yadiyas dovar zeh mitzvah saseh. Knowing this is a mitzvah saseh, shenema anoichi Hashem elokecha, as it says at the very beginning of the Aseret HaDibros. we can sometimes wonder, you know, what exactly is the first of the Aseret HaDibros? You know what the second one is. Second one is don't serve idols. But what is the first? The first is recognizing and knowing Hashem. So this is the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And anyone who thinks that there's any other God apart from Hashem transgresses the second one, Lo Yeh Lecha Elokim Achirim. So that's the way the Rambam begins his Mishnah Torah and his Hilchos Yesod HaTorah right at the beginning, and that's the first page. Now this links very closely to a section of Tanya Kadisha by Rabbi Shneur Zalman. The way the Tanya is printed and was printed, it's the second section. But there's a tradition supported by some textual evidence that Rabbi Shneur Zalman was thinking maybe this should be the first section. And that is a part of Tanya called Shah HaYichud VaEmuna, the gate of faith and unity. Now, the gate of faith and unity focuses on the idea that something it says in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Shema Yisrael, it says, Lahovin Ma'at Mizeh, to understand a little bit what it says, Mashikosi B'Zohar, the Shema Yisrael, that when we say Shema Yisrael, that is Yichud Eloh, that's the upper unity, and Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus La'olam Void, who Yichud Tato, and Baruch Shem is the lower unity. Now, he explains this in 12 chapters, 12 brokim. But and basically what it means that when we put our hand over our eyes, we say Shema Yisrael, at that point, what we have in our mind, ideally, is Ein Oid Milvado. There's nothing apart from Hashem. That is the upper unity. And he shows a way of thinking that even looking at the world, it's as if the world is absorbed in Elokus. Hashem is making everything exist, so really everything is an expression of Hashem. And so therefore, what is the true reality? Hashem. And at that moment, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, you realize this, you know this at that moment. And the Psukah de Zimra and the Birchas Kriyat Shema before are a kind of way of his boininess of thinking about the greatness of Hashem and how Hashem is in everything. So therefore that's being expressed in the words Shema Yisrael. That's the higher unity. And the lower unity is Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Lo'olam Voed, that there is a world, yes, there is a physical world, but we recognize that that physical world is governed by Hashem and ultimately should express the kingship, the Malchus of Hashem Yisbarach. And we normally say that in a whisper, but on Yom Kippur, when the world more openly recognizes Hashem, we say it aloud, because at that moment the Malchus of Hashem is manifest. So that's the lower unity. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Alon Abad. So this is a way, thinking through the ideas here in Shai Yichud V'Emunah, is a way of enriching our davening. Now, this bases itself on the concept that all existence is continuously being kept in existence by Hashem. And he quotes a pasuk, Le'olam Hashem dvorcho nitzav b'shamayim. Forever Hashem, your word is standing in heaven. Now the Midrash, highlighted by the Baal Shem Tov, said, Ki dvorcho sh'amato, your words that you said, Yehi rakia b'soy chamayim, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. In other words, let there be, whatever exactly it means, a rakia. The words, those words, dvorcho sh'amato, those words you said, Yehi rakia b'soy chamayim, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the water. Tevas v'oisius elu, these words and letters. He nitzavas v'oimdes la'olam, they are always standing eternally. B'soich rekiya ha'shamayim, in the firmament of heaven, and they're there in all the different rakim, and he goes on, and everything in the world, the energy which comes from Hashem's words is keeping that firmament in existence. And if that energy would, chas v'shalom, would stop for a moment, then that thing would disappear. And it comes down, he gives a whole fascinating explanation. This is something which is actually in Sefer Yetzirah, which talks about the way the 22 letters combine in order to create like everything you could possibly say comes out from these 20, because each letter can change. It's not just the 22 letters. It is the words of the Asorah Ma'amoras, yes? But Asorah Ma'amoras Nivra Olam, it says in Pirkei Avos. And the concept here is that the text of the words at the beginning of Bereshis is the initial energy which is giving existence to everything. And those words are melubash in everything in existence. So then comes the question, what happens if there is a word? And the word, which is the Lashon Kodesh word, this helps us understand the power of Lashon Kodesh. The word for a thing in Lashon Kodesh is the chayas of that thing. Now, this is a very interesting concept.
Reality.
It's the true reality. Now, let me try to explain this. We know what ordinary languages are. For example, in English, salt is salt. And you could translate that into French, Ducel, and in German, Salz, yeah, and whatever it is, it's Spanish and Chinese. But if you've learnt a little bit of chemistry, you know that NaCl is salt. It's not just a convention. Sodium chloride is what salt is all about. And if you're going to be on a low sodium diet, it'll be KCl, it'll be potassium chloride. But that is the reality of salt. Now, in the same way, on a spiritual level, Mem Lamed Ches, the Hebrew word for salt, is what the salt is. That is the spiritual formula for salt. And the same with everything, Kisei, Shulchan, Evan, Shamayim, Mayim, everything, is, that is the reality of what that thing is. So now that... he then asked the question, what about, that's what the Arizal said, that the Hebrew word for any object is the chayas eloki of that object. So then Rabbi Shneur Zalman asked the question, what about words which are not there in the Asorah Ma'amoras? Right? You have oh, you have mayim, you have various words, but there are many words, it's only a small text, it's why it's in one perek. It's less than one perek of the Chumash. So there he explains a system of substitution that you can make one letter into another, and the way you make one letter into another is by making pairs of letters. And this is a thing from Sefer Yetzirah where there has a long pirush by the Vilna Gaon. That's a long pirush, and this is the way these letters go from one to the other. That's right, interchangeable. That's, so it's 22 letters, Hebrew letters. So the number of changes is 22 times 21, is the number of pairs of letters. But you get Aleph base and base Aleph. So so you divide that in half, comes out to 231 pairs of different letters. And from those pairs of different letters, Mistama, this is how practical Kabbalists go about their work, which is not for us. But that's the way one letter changes into another. And so therefore, all of existence emerges from Bereshit Bara Elokim, from the beginning, from the Asorah Ma'amoras in the Chumash. Now, the key point here is that the energy, in order to keep this existence, this world, this universe, we're all the universes, in order to keep them in existence, that energy is continually flowing from Hashem. And so therefore, when you look at anything, I remember Mendel Fudafas, Zichron Lebrocha, he was standing in the corridor, I remember, and he stuck his thumb up. He said, "Fran, it exists. That shows you Elokus. Something exists, that shows you Elokus." So that idea that everything in existence, there we have a parallel from Tanya to what it says here at the beginning of Hilchos Yesod HaTorah in the first perek. Now, the first perek then goes on, and now very interesting aspects of the first perek. In fact, it's in the first line. Yesoda, Yesodis v'amada chochmos, leida, to know. It's a mitzvah, it's a basic foundation of Yiddishkeit to know that Hashem exists.
Now,
how can you know? Now that's a very interesting thing. At the beginning of the time of the Hasidic movement, as mentioned, there was a lot of conflict within families. Now, things have been sorted out in a sense. You got Hasidic mishpachas and literature mishpachas, this, that. But at that time, people were going to the Hasidic movement, were going to the great early Hasidim, the Mezritch Magid, for example. People would travel to Mezritch, stay there a few months, whatever. And their father-in-law, their Shver, might have been very angry about this. Yeah. So someone went, and he spent some time by the Mezritch Magid, and then he came back, and he was eating kes by his Shver. His Shver said, "No, what did you learn by your famous Magid? No, what's it still good coming?" Yeah. He said, "I learned that Hashem created the world." "Oh, look at that. Hashem created, that's what you learned." "Rahala," he said, they've got a little Yosef and Yosema in their home who does the cooking. "Rahala, who created the world?" "Hashem." "So you've learned as much as little Rahala who cleans the stove." She believes that Hashem created the world, but I know that Hashem created the world.
Later.
And the whole idea that when a person learns through, let's say, Shai Yichub Emuna, and they think about the way there's a divine life force which is giving existence to everything, and in their mind's eye they see this, they can see that the world is totally dependent on the Eibishter. It's not a matter of, do you believe it? Yes, I believe it. Yeah, of course I believe it. If we believed anything properly, if we really knew it, we would behave in accordance with that. If there's a possibility of something doing something, which like the Gemara says, a person should always, just the way in front of other people, a person is careful about the way they behave, so should be when you think about Hashem. In other words, the same way that we're sitting in a room together and we're aware of each other, we should be aware of Hashem in the same way. And for that, we have to now, you ask, how can we know? According to the Rambam, and according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, who of course is learning the Rambam, and a lot of his ideas come from the Rambam, in order for you to know, you have to think. We have to think, we have to be misboinen, we have to learn certain ideas, think about them, think into what they mean, understand them, take them to heart, make them into our reality. And then we know that there is Hashem, that Hashem gives existence to everything, Hashem is the reality, which is there close to us.
Hashem is the real reality.
Yeah. Now, what should be the effect of this? Here we look at Perek Beis of Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. Okay, la nichvad hava noira hazeh. Right, this is the second chapter of Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. There are ten chapters altogether.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
On looking through the Rambam, it seems to be written in very simplistic terms. It's not hard to understand the Rambam. Was there a reason for that?
The Rambam certainly wanted his sefer to be very accessible. He wrote it, it's the only sefer he wrote in Lashon Kodesh. The other, the Pirush on the Mishnayos, was written in Judeo-Arabic. Arabic in Hebrew letters.
Arabic or Aramaic?
Arabic. Arabic. And so was Moir Nebuchim. So it's only
Mishnah. The Moir Nebuchim is extremely complicated.
Yes, yes. The Moir Nebuchim was basically written for one person.
Who?
His name was Yosef ben Yehuda. He was a student of the Rambam, and he lived in Baghdad. And the Rambam said, I'm going to write you a sefer, and I'll send it to you in like chovros. And that was his personal guidance to him. Then it was like published as a sefer as a whole thing.
Has anyone pointed out that from the atom, splitting of the atom, and the equivalent of energy to matter, we see how much energy there is in a small amount of uranium that unleashes such destructive force? And so that table you're pointing to it, there the bonding is so strong you can't even split it. So we see how much energy there is in that chair that defies definition. That science as a tool can lead us to understand what the Rambam writes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The more that the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote, the more that science develops, the more you see the truths of the Torah. Very much. Now, what is the effect of this knowledge? Okay, la nichvad v'hanoira hazeh. This glorious and wonderful, awesome God. Mitzvah la'avoy. It's a mitzvah to love Hashem. Uliyira oisa. And to fear Him. V'lirois. And to fear Him. Shenema, as it says, bringing the psukim, v'ahavta es Hashem elakecho, you should love Hashem your God. V'nema es Hashem elakecho tira, you should fear Hashem your God. That's Perik Sheni, Perik Beis, Halacha Aleph, now Halacha Beis. V'ha'echi haderech la'avosei v'yirosei. What is the path to love and fear Hashem? B'shah she'yisboinen ha'odom. When a person is misboinen, thinks. B'maisov ubruov hanifloi. About the wonderful actions and creations of Hashem, HaGadolim, the great creations. V'yireh mehen chochmosoi, and looking at them you'll see the wisdom of Hashem, she'ein lo erech v'loi keitz, which is infinite. Miyad hu oyev u'mushabeich u'mofayeh, and immediately he feels a love and he praises Hashem and he speaks about how great Hashem is. And he feels a great desire, Leida Hashem Agodol, to know Hashem. So when you look at the greatness of the world, which Hashem has made, you look at the plants, you look at the mountains, the seas, the sun, the moon, the stars, you feel this is all an expression of Hashem, this is Hashem's works. I want to come close to Hashem. And you feel a thirst. K'moshe Omer David, as David HaMelech said, Tzomo nafshi lelekim, my soul is thirsty for Hashem, lekeil choy, for the living God. So that's the feeling of ava, of yearning, wanting to come close to the Eibishter. U'k'shemachashe b'dvorim ha'elu atzmon, and when you think about these ideas themselves, it has the corresponding response. Miyad hu nirtal achoyrav. The person jumps backwards. Hashem is so infinitely great. What am I? A tiny little creature. V'yivchet, and he'll be frightened. V'yodeya shehu bria katana shafela afela. He'll know that he is a tiny little creature, low and dark, hoimedes bedas kala, with a very simple mind, me'utul ifnei tomim deas, the cloudy mind before the infinite greatness and purity of Hashem. K'moshe Omer David, as David HaMelech said, Ki era shemecha mas etzvoy secha, when I see your heavens, the work of your hands, your fingers, ma enoish ki siskarena, what is man that you should remember him? So in other words, the effect of thinking about Hashem is to feel an intense ahava and an intense yira.
And humility.
And humility, absolutely. Now these concepts were the absolute basis of the Hasidic movement. We're comparing Hilchos Yesod HaTorah with Hasidic. That idea, see, what did the center Mezrich represent? Yutes Kislev is also the Yod side of the Mezrich HaMagid, as well as in the next generation, the day of liberation of Rabbi Shneur Zalman. But it's, what did Mezrich represent? It is said about Rabbi Shneur Zalman, he was deciding he was going to learn more. He already had enormous Torah knowledge. He knew that in Vilna there was a focus on Torah, and in Mezrich there was a focus on Tfilah. So he thought to himself, Torah I know a little bit, let me go and see what they say about Tfilah. The idea of davening with an intense ava and an intense yira, that became the hallmark of the Hasidic movement. And in order to activate that ava and yira, people would learn Hasidus before davening, people would do his boinenus, that people who do this to an extraordinary degree, thinking very, very deeply in order to get into such a mood. I used to hear Reb Mendel Futterfuss davening. Well, an amazing, amazing thing. He would come at the beginning of the davening, he would lead all the way through the davening, but he would be sitting with the tongue, and he would be thinking. And then he would start davening himself. So there used to be a Hasidic Shabbat, that if you daven with a minyan, all you need is a stamp for the letter. You catch the post. But if you daven after the minyan, it's like a telegram. You have to pay for every word. And Reb Mendel would put a voida into his hachana for davening, and then you would hear Baruch Shama V'Hoya Olam. You could feel the heart that was there in every single word of the daven. An incredible thing.
You knew Mendel very well.
Baruch Hashem, I had the schus, he learned with me a little bit. He was a very, very important figure in my life. Yeah. And in many, many other people's life. Now, in Tanya, in the first section of Tanya, we have exactly the same idea which the Baal HaTanya has taken from the Alter Rebbe. So the Baal HaTanya has taken from the Rambam and he's put it in his own way. The same basic idea. Kushem is boinen de sichla. He's explaining what is Chabad. Chochma bina das. Chochma means you got the basic idea. Bina means the understanding that it fleshes out more and more ideas. Das is that it comes down in ava and yira. It comes down in real feeling. And he says here, so when a person is kashem misboinen umaymik ma'oid, when a person is misboinen and thinks very deeply, begdulas Hashem, you have to finish, isn't it, right? How long is it? 5 minutes. Okay. When a person is misboinen and thinks very deeply in the greatness of Hashem, the way the infinite radiance of Hashem fills all worlds and surrounds all worlds, gives existence to everything, and everything before Hashem is like nothing, then you feel awe in your mind, in your thought. To be in awe and ashamed before the greatness of Hashem, which is infinite, and fear of Hashem in one's heart. So then comes Yira first, the opposite to the Rambam. The Rambam puts Ava and then Yira. Rabbi Shnezalman puts Yira and then Ava. V'shuv yislaiv leboi, and then again your heart flares up. Ba'ava azza kadish be'esh, with a love strong as coals of fire. B'chasheka v'chafetza o'chuka v'nefesh hakeka, with an absolute yearning for Hashem. And he quotes similar psukim, tzoma nafshi lelakim, the same pasuk, my soul is thirsty. The interesting thing is that the Rambam says you contemplate the existence as you see it, which might be what you learn in physics and astronomy, and Rabbi Shnezalman says you contemplate the spiritual dimension, which is communicated by Hasidic teachings that there is a radiance of Hashem, a Malik Olam, filling the world, and a radiance surrounding the world. Now this basic approach of this focus on Hashem, with a tremendous ava and a tremendous awe, which of course is expressed in davening, which is the place where such feelings are particularly appropriate. Now, so then the Rambam goes on in his Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. First of all, he speaks about the spiritual side of existence and the physical side of existence, and then Perek Hay of Hilchos Yesod HaTorah is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. It's interesting what he picks out as the basis of Torah. The idea of recognizing Hashem, love and awe of Hashem, recognizing Hashem's greatness in spiritual terms, malochim, and in physical terms, the universe. Then the idea of Kiddush Hashem. Mesiras Nefesh. Now, the backbone of Chassidus is Mesiras Nefesh. The willingness to be moise nefesh. Chassidus shelavushim. What a chassidus shelavushim. The Russian government in the 1800s decreed that everyone should wear the new westernized levushim instead of the traditional levushim. And so then became a thing in the Jewish world. What are they doing? We have to keep our traditional levushim. And so people were moise nefesh. A man could be walking along with a kapota, and a policeman would stop him, would attack him, would beat him, would make him pay a fine. Rabbonim were allowed to wear levushim, but other people not. And that's why all kinds of Hasidic groups, it covered Russia and Poland, because the Tsar ruled Poland as well. And so therefore, the Gera Hasidim would dress like in a way that a peasant would dress, because that was like an acceptable way of dressing, and wearing high boots, and all different ways, tachbulus, in order to be able to wear traditional clothing. So Mesiras Nefesh, like it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when it's discussing the whole idea of Mesiras Nefesh, if it's a time of shmad, even for a shoelace, a person should be willing to be moise nefesh. And so that concept of Kiddush Hashem, that is another one of Yesodei HaTorah. And finally, and then we have the idea of Mechikas Hashem. We've got one more minute, yeah? Mechikas Hashem, for the Rambam, is another one of basic concepts, which is the foundation of Torah, that if Hashem's name is written, you mustn't rub it out. In other words, there is tangible kedusha here in this world. A sefer Torah, tefillin, the real kedusha, there is kedusha. It's not just a thing in the mind, but it comes down into the physical world. That reality, and that reality, you could say the Hasidic emphasis of Dira lo yisborach betachtoinim, a dwelling for Hashem in the lower world, that there is a world, and we make this world, we put mezuzahs on the doors, we have kosher food, we make a world. Now the kosher food, even though it's kosher, can be thrown in the garbage. But the mezuzah is a special, has got a kedusha. There the idea of Mechikas Hashem applies. So the idea of creating a domain where there is tangible holiness. And finally comes the final yesoid that he puts is the concept of nevuah. The yesoid hadas leida shahakel menabe es b'nei ha'odom. It's a basic principle to know that there are people who become Nevi'im, and then he speaks about the special quality of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and these are two different Yesodos in his 13 Ikrei HaAmunah, is the idea of Nevuah in general, and the idea of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now for the Hasidic movement, we look back to the time of the Magid of Mezrich. It was basically a time when people felt that when the Magid is saying Torah, it's the Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Roina. It's not just a clever intellect analyzing something. It's the Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Roina. And in fact, there's a Sefer, O HaMeir, which reports how the Mezritcha Magid would tell his Talmidim, who would all become Rebbeim, how to tell Torah. He said, you have to be bottle yourself. You have to listen to the word of Hashem coming through you. When you start hearing it as your own voice, stop. Because that's not what a Hasidish Torah is. Hasidish Torah is something flowing through the Rebbe and then reaching the Hasidim. So Baruch Hashem, there was this Gilui of Hasidus. And Baruch Hashem, hundreds of years earlier, there was the Gilui of the Rambam. And these great forces, which then lead to our generation now, Be'ezras Hashem, with all this tremendous energy behind us, should be the coming of Mashiach now. Shalom in the whole world. And that the whole world will recognize Hashem and serve Him.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Good.